are in Mark chapter 1, so if you want to turn over there, we will find our place and
read a few verses. Mark chapter number 1, and this is lesson number 8 we've been studying, so we're going to start in verse number 35 and go down through verse number 39. Mark chapter number 1. All right. Mark chapter 1, verse number 35. If you found your place, we'll start there. The Bible said, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils." Now, if you remember last week, we studied one day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go back to verse number 21, you remember that that one day that we studied was a Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was supposed to be a day of rest, but we studied and seen that it was anything but a day of rest. In fact, it was a very busy day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 21 through 28, in the morning, we studied about how that they had gone to the synagogue and the Lord Jesus had taught there and he had cast out an unclean spirit out of a man. Then we studied about how in the afternoon in verses 29 through verse number 31, they went to Simon Peter's house. And at Simon Peter's house, no doubt they had a meal that was going on. They spent some time there, but his mother-in-law was sick. And she had a fever, and Jesus healed her. And it said in verse number 31 that immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So they had something going on there in the afternoon. And then in the evening, the Bible said in verse number 32, "And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door." That sounds to me like that had been a pretty late service that they had. They had a lot going on. Verse 34, "And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Now, verse number 35 begins a new day, because it says here, "And in the morning." So here's a new day. It would have been a Sunday. And so we find here in the morning. And we're going to learn some things from the prayer life, or about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can raise my hand tonight and say I could sure use some help in my prayer life. And maybe others could as well. I guess if we were all honest, we'd say the same thing. We could use some help in our prayer life to be more effective in our prayer life. Well, who would be better to look at than the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ? So we're going to look at his prayer habit, or that's not always a bad word. Sometimes a habit can be a good thing. So his habit of prayer, or his exercise of prayer, or how he prayed, however you want to look at it or say that tonight. But there's about 8 things in this passage of Scripture that I want to point out about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've studied verse number 35 before, but I've never coupled it together with all the way through verse number 39. But this all happened at the same time, and we learned some things about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look all the way through verse number 39 and just point out some things about his prayer life. First of all, and most of these are in verse number 35, but number 1, and you might want to underline this in your Bible, it says this, "And in the morning." And in the morning, we learned something very significant there about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus. It took place in the morning. And in the Bible, the morning was actually the last watch of the night. And it was technically from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So it was the last watch. And so it was during that time period, some time during that time, Jesus got up in the morning to pray. And you remember, as we've just pointed out, the Sabbath day beforehand was a very busy day. They had actually been at it from sun up to sundown and beyond. Probably had a very late night with all the people that had come. The Bible said all the city was gathered together at the door. They had a great crowd. There was a lot of activity that was going on, and no doubt it would have been a late night. And you know, most people would say, well, I had a real late night. I'm going to sleep in. That would have been equivalent to our Monday morning. But it was his Sunday morning. But a lot of people would say, well, we was up late and we had a lot going on. And next day, we're sort of going to take it easy and sleep in. But if you study this passage of Scripture out, the Lord Jesus did not sleep in the next morning, even though he'd had a busy day and a late night. Prayer is so important in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that he made a point to put it first and to make time for prayer in his life. Now, if Jesus made time for prayer in his life, what's that tell us about if he needed to pray? Surely we need to pray. We need to take time to pray. And all down through history, and in the Bible and out of the Bible, talking about great saints of the Lord outside of the Bible, you find that they all had one thing in common, and that they would pray early in the morning and take time in the morning to pray. And I'm going to read some verses. We're not going to turn there. I'm just going to read these for examples. But you have Jacob in Genesis 28 and 16 through 18. But it said over there, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Verse number 18 said, and Jacob rose up early in the morning. And he rose up early in the morning and prayed and met there with the Lord. Samuel's parents were both spiritual and good parents. And it said in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early. Job is in the Bible. He's a great parent, and he's a great man that walked with the Lord, and he knew about what it meant to walk with God. And it said in Job chapter 1, verse 5, and he rose up early in the morning, and he went out and he prayed for his children. In Job chapter number 1, and David, all throughout the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 57, verse number 8, David said, awake up. And I'd never really paid it notice that till I was studying today, but wake up, that's what you do in the morning. And that's what he said. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Psalms chapter 5, verse 3, he said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Sometimes we say, well, should you pray quietly or should you pray out loud? David evidently prayed out loud because he told the Lord, he said, my voice you shall hear in the morning. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying quietly or praying silently, but there's nothing wrong with praying out loud either and God hearing our voice. And so he said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Psalms 119, verse 147. The Bible said, I prevented the dawning of the morning. That means he got up before the sun did. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. And so we have many examples in the Bible of early morning prayer. And E.M. Bounds is one of my favorite writers on prayer. And he was a man of prayer himself. Let me just read a little bit about what he said. There's a chapter in his book, Power Through Prayer, and he's got a chapter called Early Will I Seek Thee. Listen to what he said. This is pretty short, but he said, the men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunity and freshness, in other pursuits than seeking God, will make poor headway seeking Him the rest of the day. Meaning, if you don't find God early, you're going to have a hard time later on. And that's maybe been your experience. That's been my experience. If I don't pray and do my Bible reading first thing, he said, if God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, he will be last during the remainder of the day. Behind this early rising and early praying is the intense desire that urges us into the pursuit after God. Morning listlessness indicates a listless heart. The heart that is lax in seeking God in the morning has lost its relish for God. David's heart was ardent after God. He hungered and thirsted after God. He sought God early before daylight. The bed and sleep could not chain his soul in its eagerness after God. Christ longed for communion with God, and so rising a great while before day, he would go out to the mountain to pray. The disciples, when fully awake and ashamed of their indulgence, knew where to find him. They knew where to find the Lord. We could list men who have mightily impressed the world for God, and we would find that they were early in seeking after God. A desire for God that cannot break the chains of sleep is a weak thing and will do little good for God. The desire for God that stays far behind the devil and the world at the beginning of the day will never catch up. And so he's got a lot of good advice about prayer. And Mr. Bounds encouraged early praying in the morning. So we find, first of all, in the Bible, in the prayer life of the Lord Jesus, and in the morning. That's number one. Now, number two, rising up. Rising up is what the Bible says. When I know how it is. Somebody say, well, when I wake up, I lay there and I pray. I say my prayers. And that might be somebody's habit. You know, I do that too. When I wake up, I say, well, I'll just lay here and pray. And I say, Lord, and then a long line of Z's comes after that. You ever been there in your prayer life? Well, I'm just going to lay here and pray a few minutes, and next thing I know, I wake up and it'd be 20, 30 minutes later. Now, if you can do that and really do that, well, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with it, laying in bed and praying. David said in Psalm 63 and verse number 6, he said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So evidently there were some times when David prayed and thought about the Lord while he was laying there in bed. But as far as helpful, practical advice in your prayer life, the Lord Jesus didn't wake up, lay in the bed, and pray. He got up. Rising up. If you rise up, this is how I am. In order to get awake enough to actually function, I have to rise up. Splash some water on my face. Walk through the house. Turn on a light. All those things in rising up helps you to get awake and get where you can pray in the morning. Now, if you have trouble getting up in the morning, I would suggest going to bed earlier. You'd be amazed how that will help you get up in the morning just to go on to bed and go to sleep. I love to listen to Lester Roloff on the radio preaching, and he was a big encourager for people to go to bed. And it'll help you in your prayer life. It'll help you have better health. And there's just a lot of benefits to going on to bed. But we live in a day and a time, people staying up, watching this, watching that, on the computer, all that. It's not good for you spiritually or physically. So I say to you, go to bed a little bit earlier. And the earlier I go to bed, the earlier I'll wake up the next morning. So I have to watch it. or I'll get up too early, because I've found in this stage of my life I only sleep so long. And it doesn't matter how late I go to bed. I'll still pretty much wake up the same time. But if I want to be fresh in the morning and be able to pray, I need to go on to bed. And then in the morning, I need to get up out of the bed. Rising up, the Bible said. And then number three, look what it says in verse 35. A great while. Now, if the morning was 3 to 6, and Jesus rose up in the morning, and then we read this passage of Scripture, he went out into the mountain to pray. I don't believe that he got up at 5 to 6. Now, I couldn't get up at 3 in the morning, I don't think, but the Lord Jesus probably did. The Bible said that he rose a great while. And I just say this, real prayer takes time. If you're going to pray like we ought to pray, it's going to take some time. Honestly, the Bible doesn't say, if you're going to be a good Christian, you need to pray this many minutes a day. You don't find that verse of Scripture in the Bible. You don't see that. But do you really think, considering all that there is to pray about, can I sufficiently pray like I ought to in 2 minutes? I can't even get started in 2 minutes. Can you pray like you ought to pray? If we prayed just tonight, the things that were mentioned among us, if we just took some time and really talked to God about each and every one of these things that were mentioned, then if we put in the lost people that we ought to be praying for, and the backslid people that we ought to be praying for, and those that are maybe on the brink, if we really prayed and we prayed for the peace of Jerusalem and we prayed for our nation and pastors and missionaries and all of our missionaries, how long would it take? It'd take a while. I don't know. And so we're not saying you need to, in order to be spiritual, you need to pray this many minutes, but between you and God, how long does it take to really pray? To really pray for something, if you really believe in prayer and believe that God hears and answers our prayers, we'd pray more than 2 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day or a few minutes a day. If there is a passage of Scripture in the Bible suggesting a time frame to pray, I believe it would be when Jesus, before he went to the cross, and he went out into the garden, Matthew 26 and verse number 40, the Bible said, "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. That's what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. So I think if we were going to put a time on prayer, just, you know, if I was going to start, or if I was going to try to bolster my prayer life, it wasn't what it should be. I think all of us would do good to schedule at least 1 hour. Read your Bible, pray in the morning. I believe that'd be a good place to start. We're not going to raise hands. And we're not going to ask people, you know, how long do you spend in time? But if we were taking a Bible example, and here's a very important event in the life of the Lord Jesus, and he came and found the disciples praying, and he said, couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? 1 hour. I think that'd be a good baseline to maybe start at if we were talking about our devotional life. If we just scheduled that, going to read my Bible, going to pray, maybe read a devotional. Sometimes I do, sometimes I just read my Bible. But I first thing in the morning, every morning, even Sundays, every day of the week, we'll spend time in prayer. So it said, a great while. And then he said this, before day. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I always pray and read my Bible at night. Right before I go to bed, you've just waited too long. That's good. It's good, but what benefit? You would get a greater benefit. You know, you don't eat breakfast right before you go to bed. You eat breakfast when you get up. And it's the same thing spiritually. If you're going to have spiritual nourishment, I'm not saying there's no benefit in saying your prayers and reading your Bible at night. That's a good thing. But you get a whole lot more out of it if you do it before day, not after day. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. He prayed before day, before anything else started, not after he met with his disciples, not after he had breakfast. He prayed before day, before anything else. I was going to read one more quotation out of this book, and it's by a preacher. His name's Robert Murray McShine. And he said this about prayer. He said, "I ought to pray before seeing anyone. Often when I sleep long or meet with others early, it is 11 or 12 o'clock before I begin secret prayer. This is a wretched system. It is unscriptural. Christ arose before day and went into a solitary place. David said, 'Early will I seek thee, and my voice shalt thou hear in the morning.' Family prayer loses much of its power and sweetness, and I can do no good to those who come to seek from me. My conscience feels guilty, my soul unfed, my lamp not trimmed. Then, when in secret prayer, the soul is often out of tune. I feel it is far better to begin with God, to see His face first, to get my soul near Him before it is near another." This great preacher from days gone by, he said, "I ought to see God before anybody else. I ought to spend time with the Lord before anybody else." We have prayer, men's prayer, on Saturday mornings. We meet at 6, and that is real early. I mean, I'll be honest, my flesh rebels on me. And it says, "Too tired, too early," you know, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty about going or not going. But honestly, if we met later in the morning, it wouldn't be the same because other things get to happen. We're all busy and got things going on, and it's that way in my Monday through Friday. It's that way Saturday. It's that way Sunday. And so we ought to meet with God. We ought to pray before day. First thing we do in the morning, not later on in the day. I hadn't tried that, but I know if I did, it just wouldn't happen a lot of times. If I said, "I'll read my Bible later, I'll pray later," it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen, or it would be a rushed, not really being able to get into it thing, I guess would be a good way to put it. So it said that he went before day. And then it said he went out and departed into a solitary place. A solitary place is a place where he could get alone with the Lord. He had to make an effort to do that. The house was full. There was people all around. He got up. He got dressed. He went out, the Bible says, into a solitary place. He went somewhere where he could get alone with God. Now, in Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus was talking about the hypocrites. And he said they love to pray in the synagogues. They love to pray standing in the corners where they could be heard of men. That's what he said. He said that the hypocrites, they love to stand out and pray where they could be seen and heard. But Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6 said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." He said, don't make a spectacle out of it. He said, go in your closet and pray. Get somewhere alone. Does that mean a closet? I remember years ago, I was preaching at Friendship, where Brother Jeff is now, but I was preaching for Brother Morris Ward. And there's a lady in the church, and I was preaching along these lines and preaching about the Bible said to go into your closet and pray. And she came by and shook hands after the service. And she said, "Lord, preacher," she said, "I used to get in the closet and pray when I was younger, but I've got so much junk in it now I can't get in there." And I've never forget. Every time I read that, I think about her saying that. Well, get in another room or something, I don't know. If you got a house full of youngins, you might have to go outside. You may have to go in the basement. Just find somewhere. where you can get alone with the Lord. We've been on vacation before. And motel room, cramped up, hard to do anything early in the morning, children in the bed, but I've went outside to the car. I've went to the lobby where nobody was, just somewhere where I can get alone and spend some time with God. That's very important. And even the Lord Jesus went into a solitary place and there prayed, is what the Bible said. There prayed. That's the sixth thing in verse number 35. First of all, the morning. Number two, rising up. Number three, a great while. Number four, before day. Number five, a solitary place. Number six, and there prayed. The word pray means to ask. When we talk about pray, we're talking about talking with the Lord. That's what praying is. It is talking with the Lord, spending time with God. Read your Bible. Let God speak to you. You got things on your heart. Pray and speak to the Lord. But in order to get to that point of there prayed, there was preparation to get to that point. There was planning to get to that point. There was purpose. Purpose. Jesus had it on his mind when he got up. I've got to get out of here. I got to get alone. I got to pray and talk to the Lord. So pray, we talk about prayer. But there's some things that precede prayer before you can even start praying. So there's preparation and planning and purpose and all of those things. That's six things. Now, look in verse number 36. And I like what we read just a few minutes ago. The disciples knew where to find him. Now, they laid in the bed. How much longer, we don't know. But they got up and got to milling around. They found out the Lord Jesus wasn't there, but they knew where to find him. And it said in verse number 36 down through verse number 38, and Simon, now that's Peter, you realize that. Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Now the seventh thing about prayer in this passage of Scripture is that prayer brings divine direction. Prayer brings direction. What if they had all gotten up at the same time? I was thinking about this today. What if everybody in the house had all woke up at the same time? Somebody's already knocking at the door wanting to know where Jesus was. They've heard about what went on the day before, and there's a great amount of talk in the community, and here people are already coming. That's what he said. That's what the disciples said. They said unto him, all men seek for thee. You're really wanted down in town. You got to come back. And that's what they went out for. They went out to bring him back where he was. But you notice the first words of the Lord Jesus Christ after he had prayed is in verse number 38. And he said unto them, let us go. Isn't that a good thing to find? First thing he said after praying, let us go. That's the charge of a Christian. Go. Can't spell gospel without saying go. And he said, let us go into the next towns. But if they'd all got up at the same time and the crowd knocking at the door and they'd have said, pulled here and come with us, come with us. We don't know what would have happened. Jesus knew what would happen. He went out. And it's interesting to me that these disciples who Jesus had just, in this same chapter, he had just called them to follow after him. Boy, it didn't take them long to where they was trying to get the Lord to follow after them. Isn't that how we are? They're supposed to be following him. And here they go out to bring him to do their will. If we don't pray like we ought to pray, we're not going to have the direction that we ought to have. And the spiritual person, most of the time, will do exactly contrary to what all the crowd wants to do. The crowd, the world says, we think we ought to do this, we ought to do this. The person led to the Spirit of God might have a whole nother way of thinking about it. They said, we need to go back. Everybody's looking for you. This is good. Wouldn't that be good? Interest. We need to go back. The Lord Jesus said, no, that's not what we need to do. We need to go somewhere else. It's totally contrary. But wonder what would have happened if he hadn't have been out there praying on the mountain and had the mind of God. And I know, you know, sometimes you get to thinking about that. Jesus is God, but he's talking to the Father. Here's a pattern for us. If you're going to get divine direction in your life, or you're not going to get divine direction if you don't pray like you ought to pray. So there's divine direction in verses 36 through 38. I'd never looked at all that together like that, but I believe we see that there. And then verse number 39, well, they did do what Jesus said to do. And in verse 39, the Bible said, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. When we pray, there's power for service like there ought to be. Now, he went out and the Bible said he preached in their synagogues. You talk about an open door. And I believe if we were to really study this out and the timeline of it, Jesus knew all the time that time was of the essence. And his word began to get out, then the powers that be, the religious crowd, they'd try to shut him down as quick as they could. And we'll even see that in the next passage of Scripture when he healed the leper and he told him not to tell it, but the leper went and told it. He didn't want him telling it. He wanted to get the message out. And he knew that these other things, and they would see that there was something different about Jesus, and there'd be jealousy, and they'd close the door to the preaching in the synagogue. So he knew that time was of the essence. And as he went, he had power as he went. He not only preached, but he cast out devils. He had power as he went. And boy, do we need power. We need power in prayer. We need power in persuasion. We need power in preaching. We need power. I think it's Psalm 68 says, power belongeth unto God. Where are you going to get power? You're going to get it from the Lord. There is nothing will make a preacher want to quit like preaching and getting done and feeling like God wasn't within 100 miles. Now that'll dishearten you. That'll dishearten you. I'm not saying that I feel like I hit a home run every time I get up, but I don't go home pouting with my lip pooched out much. Not often. If things don't go like I think they ought to, I just blame it on you for being sleepy or not praying like you ought to. But I'll tell you, if you'll pray. Now, I preached in some dead places. There wasn't much liberty and there wasn't much. But if you'll pray and God will help you, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And he'll give you power to do what he's called you to do. And so the Word of God, there's power in the Word of God. But it must be mated together with prayer. You got to get God in what you're doing, whether you're preaching, witnessing, working on the job, trying to be a witness where you buy something, where you go to school. You need power. You need help. You cannot do what needs to be done in and of your own self. There's got to be some power about you, some influence, some testimony. So all this we see come from the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll stop there. Verse number 39. And I appreciate your good attention tonight. The leper is a wonderful lesson, but I don't want to get into it because I don't want to rush through.